We're going to learn Daf Mem Aleph in Masechtas Ksubas. We're going to start from the Mishnah right at the top of the Yomid, right at the top of the Daf. The Mishnah says as follows: Ha'omer Pesisi es Bitoy Shel Ploini. A guy comes into Beis Din and says, "I was Mefata this particular girl." And of course, we know the halacha is that if somebody is mefata, there are certain payments that he has to make. The Mishnah's chiddush is mishalei boishes supagama piatzmoi. He will still have to pay the fact, the chiyuv, the monetary amount for boishes supagam, for the amount that he embarrassed her in the amount that he made her depreciate in value. However, ve'ein mishalei knas. He does not have to pay the knas, the 50 shekel that the Torah says that you have to pay. And as Rashi explains, because this is a classic example of Moed B'Knas is Potter, and we learn out from the Pasuk that says, May Asher Yarshion Elohim, that Beis Din has to be Mechayev you. And over here, since it's not Beis Din that's being Mechayev him, it's himself, it's his own Hoidah, it's his own admission, therefore he's not going to be Chayev. So that's the general rule by Knas, that you are not Chayev to pay. If you're the only one that is the basis of which Beis Din has this information. If Beis Din has the information from someplace else, that's not considered a moed b'knas. Even if you know, if Beis Din asks you about it and you say, yes, it's true, well, in our world, that's considered admitting, but that's not what moed b'knas is. Moed b'knas is that you were moed, and that is the only way Beis Din has this information, and therefore, you're going to be potter. The Torah says, you're not chayev if it's at your own admission, and Beis Din's only information is based on you. Beis Din can't be mechayev you. And we, as we know, knas is only a chiyev once Beis Din creates it as a chiyev. Then it becomes money. Before Beis Din creates it as a chiyev, it's not considered a chiyev money. Fine, so that's the din of moed b'knas. The Mishnah is now going to include another Mishnah. Ha'imer ganavti. A person says, I am a ganav. So, mishalem es hakeren. Of course, you have to reimburse the, you know, you stole $10, you gotta return $10. Those $10 are the keren, the principal. The principal you're going to be chayiv al piyasma, even if it's your own admission, because you are chayiv to reimburse. However, ve'ein mishalem tashlume keifel, v'tashlume yabra v'chamisha. You don't have to pay what would otherwise, potentially, you would have incurred the keifel, the double, because that's not a reimbursement anymore. That's an extra amount that the Torah is being chayiv you. And the same thing would be true for the extra four, the extra five, which really means it wouldn't be the four and the five, it would actually be the three and the four, because you have to pay the minimum, you have to pay the one. You just don't have to pay the extra three or the extra four, which would total a four and five. We call it four and five, arba b'dal v'hei, because that's how we refer to it, but what it means is not that you don't have to pay the entire five, you have to pay the first one, because the first one is the carrot. Next example is Hamish Shari S. Ploini. If a person admits that his ox killed somebody, or killed another animal, once again, that's damages. Damages you have to pay, even through your own admission, and you have to pay. However, if now the Mishnah jumps to a new example of the fact that he killed a slave, then once again, you don't have to pay on your own. Because, as we know, the Torah says that if you kill a slave, a shor kills a slave, he has to pay 30 shekel. That's a knas. And as a knas, moed b'knas is going to be potter. Now, as the Mishnah says, klal kol mishalim yeser al masha hizik, if a person ends up paying more than the value of the damages, and mishalim al piyatzma, he doesn't have to pay on his own accord, because that is knas, and therefore as a knas, he is potter. Moed b'knas is going to be potter. So Tosfos just points out that the other examples that we're talking about would be moitzi shemer, right? We say zeh klal, this is a rule. So what a rule has to be including other things that are not already mentioned. This would include Yotzev Shem V'ayin, this would include Moisi Shemra, which we mentioned before. That's what Taisa says. Those are the other cases of Knas, that if you're Moida, that you're going to be Potter. It's interesting to notice that Moitzi, that Shein V'ayin, meaning if you knock out, a person knocks out the eye or the tooth of his slave, the slave goes free, that's a Knas. Because there's no real retribution over there. It's not a reimbursement for anything, so that's considered a knas. So as a knas, the moed b'knas is going to be putter. Oh, the Gemara now starts. The listening anasti. So why did we give the basic example? Why did the Mishnah jump to the example of patisi, it was a mafata? Mafata case means I seduced her and she agreed. Why don't we give the classic example of anasti? And over here, it would be a bigger chiddush, as Tosfos points out, because I'm admitting something worse. I'm admitting something worse about myself. It's one thing to say that, you know, we had consensual relations. But over here to say that I did something against her will makes me even a worse person. So it would be a bigger chiddush to say that Besson's going to let me get away with it. So why doesn't the Mishnah use that example? So the Gemara says, you're right, it's such a big chiddush, it's not even necessary, it's obvious. The Gemara is like, I don't even need to say that, it's obvious. Not only is the case of anasti weird, I'm not even hurting her in any way. And I certainly pay boishes begam al piatzmai, where I'm only chayv to pay the boishes begam. Abavatsisi the kapogim law over here. If I say the words, I seduced her and she agreed, she consented. Now I'm actually saying, let's call it lashon hara about her also. So maybe ema loy mishalim al piatzmai. Maybe Bezin says it's fine. You could talk about yourself, but I'm not going to let you get away with talking about somebody else. The moment I start talking about somebody else, I can't listen to you anymore. Maybe I won't even listen to you. Kamash Malon, that's the chiddush of the Mishnah. So there's a chiddush in the Mishnah that Bezdin will listen to you about a story that involves somebody else for the sake of making you potter. That is a major chiddush. That you might think that Bezdin will shut you down the moment you start talking about somebody else. The chiddush is that we don't, and that's still considered Moed B'Knas. We'll listen to that story, and therefore his result will be he'll be potter. Masnisin deloiki haitana, but not everybody necessarily agrees with what our Mishnah says. There's not like this Tana. The Tanya we learned in the Brisa, Rav Shimon ben Yehuda, Rav Shimon, says the name of Rav Shimon, af boishes abagam, enim ashalam al piatzmoi. We don't, he says, you don't even have to pay anything. Why? For exactly the reason we just said. Loi kol hem noi, we're not going to believe him to hurt somebody else. Again, he's coming into Beis Din and saying that this girl was not a good girl. That's what he's saying, essentially, in other words. He's saying, I did something bad, that's true, but she did something bad also. So who says he has the right to come into Beis Din and start talking about how good or bad this other girl is? And therefore, Rav Shimon's conclusion is, we don't listen to that. And therefore, she doesn't even have the right to collect the boishes supagam. However, so that's Rav Shimon Shita. So Amalei Rav Papa, Rabbi, our Papa says, Nicha Lolidei Mai. What if she says, no, I'm willing to admit, I'd rather, you're right, it's a little bit embarrassing, but I'd rather collect the $100 that it's on the table. What if she wants to? So the Gemara says, the problem is, Dilma Loi Nicha Lei La Aviho. Her father might not be willing to, it's embarrassing to him also that his daughter did these things. So therefore, we can't listen to his story. Nichalei la'avi. What if the father says, no, I'm okay with it, I'd rather take the money. Mai, what would be the halacha then? The Gemara says, no, dilma lo nichalei lebnei mishpacha. There is somebody else in the family, it's not just the father that's impacted, everybody has that cousin, that aunt, that uncle, whatever, that does crazy things. And you'd rather, you'd rather not be embarrassed. You say, I don't want to hear stories about her. No, I don't want to hear it. So, right, so the Gemara says, Nichlo lebnei mishpacha mai. What if no, the family's like, okay with it. Okay, so she did with it. I'd rather her get the money. So, can Bezdin listen to that? So the Gemara answers, no. E'efshir deleka chad b'medinas hayom deloi nichlo. There's gonna be somebody in the family that it bothers. There's always that frumach in the family that's like, no, Lashon Hara, I don't want to hear it. Right? I mean, I'm not chas v'shalom making fun of Lashon Hara, but you don't understand what I'm saying. The Gemara is saying, there's always somebody out there that's like, no, it's not worth it for me the money. The embarrassment is worse off than the money that I would be entitled to. Now remember, this is all lefi shitas Rav Shimon. Our Mishnah disagrees with this concept. Our Mishnah very clearly says she gets to collect the boishes of begam, and that's the end of the story. She, once he talked about her, the word is out, the rumors are out, and she gets the boishes of begam. Yes, she is embarrassed, and therefore you have to pay. Rav Shimon, on the other hand, says, no, we don't listen to this is basically like a judge telling the jury, disregard what you just saw. Okay? Even though the facts are, they saw what they saw, we know what we know. Still, Rav Shimon says, we imagine, Bezin says, I can't accept that as a fact. But again, that's been chodek on our Mishnah. The next case in the Mishnah is Ha'imer Ganafti Mishalem Asakaren. So the Mishnah gives another example of Geneva, where you pay Moed B'Knas, you're going to be Potter. Itmar. Okay, but the Gemara goes off on a slightly different topic. Really, he's going to go off on the next case. Even though the Mishnah quotes the case of Gnev, it's really going off on the next case of the Shairi, that the Shar killed somebody, whether he's going to be chayev to pay. So on that, the Gemara says, Itmar pal ganisko. What about, we're now going to discuss the half. Until now, we've always been giving examples where you're paying more than what you should have paid. What would be the halacha if you're paying less than? Now, less than by definition means you're also not paying what you owe. So if you're not paying what you owe, so what are you paying? Are you reimbursing a little bit? Or is it also, you're really making, it's a total made up number. If it's a total made up number, once you're not paying the whole thing anyway, if it's a made up number, so then it becomes knas. Or do we say, no, you're reimbursing, I'm just giving you a discount. It's not a made up number, it's just a discount. So that is the classic machlaikas. Rav Papa Amar Palganiska Mamayna. Rav Papa says it is money. Rav Huna Bereid Rav Yeshua Amar Palganiska Knasa. He views it as a knas. Now what would be the basis for this? The Gemara explains. Rav Papa Amar Palganiska Mamayna. He says that it's considered in the category of money. Kosovar Stam Shvarim Lav Bechesu Shimur Kaimi. Really, Shar is not considered watched, and you should expect that the shor did damage. As the Mefarshim explained, that pshat is like this, that you should have, not pshat that you should have expected it. Really, every shor is prone to do damage. It's just that under normal circumstances, as it's grazing in the field, the circumstances haven't come up where it would do the damage. But the moment it's put in that situation, the shor can't control itself. The shor is going to do the damage. So really, the shor is the type of thing that is going to do damage. It's just the situation. So therefore, you have to understand, you gotta be watching, on your guard that whole time. Because the moment that situation happens, it becomes available, the shor can't control itself, it will do the damage, and it's your job to stop it. And therefore, ubedin hu demashalim kulei. And really, you are chayiv to pay. So we are talking about a reimbursement. However, v'rachmanu hu d'chayis alayu, and the Torah says, I'm going to have pity on you, da'akati lo yayatura, because so far this hasn't happened so much, and realistically, I can't be on guard 24-7, it's not possible that a person should be alert at all every second of the day. So therefore, the Torah says, okay, fine, you didn't realize this could happen, so I'm going to give you a discount. But the way Rav Papa views it is that really you're chayiv to pay. And you're chayiv to pay the whole thing. So, whatever, the Torah is going to let you get away with some of it. But it is reimbursement. The other version of this is Rav Huna Bereid Rav Yeshua Amar Palganiska Knasa. He holds that it's a knas. How do we explain that it's a knas? Kosovar Stam Shvarim Becheskas Shimur Kaimi. He says, no, really, the shor is fine. As long as you do your basic shimur, you're watching to make sure that it's okay, then you're really off the hook. Ubedinu Delay L'Shalem Klal. And really, you shouldn't have to pay because you did what you're supposed to do. You kept the animal in a normal circumstance. You're okay. However, Rachmanuhu the Kansei, the Torah gives it a knas, kihechad an intere the ture, so that you should watch your shor even better, as Rashi says. Right? You should watch your shor even better. But it's a knas, because there's no real expectation or there's no reason to be suspect that your shor is going to do anything. And therefore, it's not your fault. So if it's not your fault, you're not chayev to pay. Kamash Malon the Torah says, no, but I want you to pay something, because I want you to be a little bit paying attention. Okay, so that's your basic machloikis. Is it knas or is it money? The nafkamina, of course, is going to be in our sugyo. If it's knas, then moed b'knas is potter. If it's money, then moed is not going to help you. You're still going to be chayiv to pay. That's how it fits into our sugyo. Gemara now says, Simin, Hezek, Ma, Vehemis, Klal. These are the words of the Brises, or the parts of the Mishnah that we're going to discuss. To bring a proof one way or another, do we consider Chatzi Nezek to be Mamoin? Do we consider it monetary, or do we consider it a Knas? Tanan, we learned in a Mishnah. This is a different Mishnah in Bava Kamma. Hanizik v'hamazik b'tashlumin. So remember, we are talking about the topic of a shor doing damage. So as you all know, that when a shor tam does hezik, so the shor tam only pays chatzin nezek. When he does hezik in keren, as keren, he only pays chatzin nezek. And so the Mishnah over there says, but interestingly, both the Nizik and the Mazik are Tashlum, are really contributing to the payment of the damage. So now, Bishlam of the Mandi Amar Palganiska Mamoina, if you hold that it's money, and I'm paying my half and you're paying your half, Hainu Tashayach Nizik V'Tashlumi. So now I understand why the Nizik, meaning the one who was damaged, he's also contributing to the payment. Because remember, as we explained, the Torah really wanted me to pay the whole amount. I paid half. Why? And you're paying half. You're contributing to the half of the damages. But according to the Mandi Yomar that understands and views it as if, really, I shouldn't have paid anything. It's just a knas. So now you're saying, I'm not even taking my own money. Even the half of, $100 worth of damage, I'm taking 50. Even the 50 that I'm taking, that itself is also not really reimbursement. That has nothing to do with the damages. That's stam, the Torah wants me to pay as a knas 50. So it's not pshat at the mazik and the nizik. The nizik has nothing to do with the damages. The nizik is just collecting an extra fee, an extra 50, because the Torah wants him to pay 50. So why are you considering that both the mazik and the nizik are contributing towards the damages? So the Gemara says, you're right. When we say that the nizik is contributing, we do not mean in the actual damages, in the initial damages itself. The nizik's contribution is, you're right, that's all the mazik, or that's all, the mazik pays what he pays. Over here, the contribution that we're talking about is, once the mazik only has to pay for the damages he did on that spot. As we say in our world, no consequential damages. The fact that later other impacts and other things might be damaged as a result. So here we have an nevela. A nevela, as you know, is that once the animal is dead, especially without refrigeration, every minute that goes by, the animal is going to go down in value. It's not going to be edible even by anybody. It's not going to be usable. It's going to rot. It's going to turn disgusting. So the moment it gets damaged, until you eventually sell it, realistically, the animal, the nevela, is going to go down in value. That diminution in value, that depreciation in value, is all the nizik. So that's what we mean. The mazik is responsible for his share up until the time, at the moment he did the damage, or his shor did the damage. The nizik is contributing because the nizik is now paying for whatever damages happened subsequent to the act of the damages. Okay, fine, so that's what we mean by both are involved. But the problem is, pchas nevelo tanino. We already learned this concept, because it says in a braisa, tashlume nezek, the fact is that you have to pay for the damages itself. Melamed, this teaches us, shahabailim etaplim benevelo. So this teaches us that the mazik, who is the owner of the damaged animal, he has to deal with the nevela. It's his job. The moment his animal is damaged, it's up to him to immediately sell it as soon as he can. And any damages that happen subsequent is his problem. Oh, so we see that this, we already know this concept that the nizik is responsible for the nevela. So what did the first Mishnah teach us when it's saying, oh, the nizik is responsible for the nevela? It's the same thing. So the Gemara says, chadu b'tam, v'chadu b'muad, and achanami. It's two brises, but it's teaching us two different cases. One is talking about the damages by a tam, one is talking about the damages by a muad. The tricha, and we need both cases. The ashminan tam, if the brisa only taught us the tam case, mishum da'akati lo yai. We would say, yes, the reason why the nizik is responsible, because it's not yet a muad, and therefore, again, the mazik is not so at fault, it's not really his fault. But now that maybe you would think that once this guy knows that his animal is going around doing damage, maybe over there we would expect him to take full responsibility, including dealing with the nevelo. So that's why we have a Mishnah to say that even the muad is not chayav. The ashmina muad, and if the brisa only told us the muad case, mishum to kamashal kula. So I would say, you know why? I paid my damages. I paid damages in full. I paid that already. Aval tam em aloy, but the tam where I didn't pay in full, maybe I should also be responsible for the nevela, because if I'm not giving him full reimbursement, maybe I should be busy with taking care of, protecting him from any other damages. Tzricha to tell us, no, that even in that case, even in the case of the tam, it's not his responsibility. The mazik's responsibility ends the moment he did the damage. That's where we evaluate him and nothing more. Okay, so that is the why we need two cases. But again, so we have no proof whether this is mammon or knas, because the way we could learn this first brisa could be learned either by interpreted by either way. Now let's bring another right. Toshima. Ma ben tam lumuid. What are some of the differences, or the differences it seems like the Brisa is saying, between a tam and a muid? Sha'tam sham chatzi nezek migufa. So first of all, a tam only pays half the value, and it also only pays from the value of the animal that did the damages. So again, let's just use an extreme example. My cat, I own a cat that's worth $100, and my cat killed your elephant, which is worth $10,000. Okay? So my cat, if my cat is a tam, so even though I just killed $10,000 worth of damages, I'm only going to have to pay, the maximum I have to pay is $100, because my cat's only worth $100. Migufay, that's the din, that I pay half the damages, and I only have to pay up maximum to the amount of migufay from the value of the mazik itself, from the animal itself. Umud mishal nezek sholem min aliyah. And a mu'ud has to pay the full value, and min aliyah means out of the guy's own pocket. It has nothing to do with the value of the animal that did the damage. Okay, that is the Gemara, what the Mishnah says over here, is the difference between tam and a mu'ud. Problem is, v'loi ketani, it doesn't say, sha'tam ein mishalem al piyatzmoy, mu'ud mishalem al piyatzmoy. Why doesn't it give the difference of our Mishnah and say that a tam, if you're mu'udah, since it's a knas, mu'udah b'knas is potter, and a mu'ud is not a knas, and therefore you're chayev to pay mu'udah b'knas? Why doesn't it give that as an example? So the Gemara says, Tana v'shayer, because this Tana listed some cases of v'shayer and it left over other cases. Since there are other examples of differences between the tam and the mu'ud, we're not listing everything. So this is another example that wasn't listed. Okay, so my shayer, the high shayer. So what did it leave over that it also left over this example as well? Shayer left over the halacha of chatzi kaifer, that you don't pay chatzi kaifer, because the halacha is that if a shor kills a person, kills another yid, so the halacha is that the owner of the shor has to pay koifer, which is a machloikis, whether you pay the value of the nizik or you pay the value of the mazik, but you have to pay the value of, I'll just say, the person. You have to pay the value of the person. So the halacha is that when a muad kills somebody, you have to pay koifer. That's a din of the Torah. When a tam kills somebody, you don't have to pay at all, because there's no such thing as chatzi koifer, at least according to this man d'yoma. So therefore, that's a major chiluk between tam and a muad. Muad pays, tam doesn't pay. So then, so we see that the Mishnah is not listing all the differences. So once it's not listing all the differences, it's not listing our difference either. So the Gemara says, imishum chatzi koifer, if you're saying, if your whole reason or your whole understanding is that it left out cases because it didn't pay chatzi koifer, lav shiyuruhu, that is not considered missing a case of a missing halacha. Because harmoni, Rabbi Yossi Aglili, because that brisa could be interpreted to be Rabbi Yossi Aglili. Now I'm on the top of Memal from a base. So the Gemara says, the Omar Tam, Mishan Chatzi Koifer. Rabbi Yossi Taka holds that a Tam does pay Chatzi Koifer. So if that's the case, then just a simple explanation over here is, and that's the case, so then this is no different than the regular classic Tam and Mu'ud. That Mu'ud pays the full amount, and Mu'ud pays half. And Tam pays half. So, and Achanami, that is included in the first half of the Mishnah, where the Mishnah said that the Tam pays half and the Mu'ud pays full. So I don't need to list this example. So now we're back to our Kasha, which is, well, if this is just a standard regular halacha, then why didn't it list our case as well? So the Mefarshim over here will explain that Enochanami, the fact is, this Mishnah could be Rabbi Yossi Aglili. So, and if that's the case, I would have a kasha, but it also could not be Rabbi Yossi Aglili, and therefore you don't have a raya. So basically, you don't have a raya one way or another, because it depends on whether or not you decide to make this price according to Rabbi Yossi Aglili or not. So again, for our purposes, we don't have a raya one way or another, whether it's considered kanas or whether it's considered mamayna. Okay, so let's try another example. Let's try our Mishnah. Toshima. So let's bring a raya from our Mishnah. Hamis shayri es ployne oi shayroi shal ployne. Either a guy comes to Bez and it says, my ox killed another ox, or my ox killed another person. Hare ze meshalem al pi atzmai. So it says, you have to pay. Now it says you have to pay the full amount. My lab batam. So l'chayru, our Mishnah is talking about a tam, or at least including also a tam, and which means you have to pay. The Mishnah says you have to pay, which would mean you have to pay even chatzi nezek. Oh, so we see you're paying chatzi nezek al piyatzmai. Must be, it must be mamay. So the Gemara says loy b'muid. No, our Mishnah is just talking about a muid case where it's a full reimbursement. It's a regular amount. So since it's a regular amount, that's why you're chayav to pay. Oh, so what's that? Avo b'tam mai? So then, if you we're not talking about tam, what would be the din? So the halacha would be ein mishalom al piyatzmai. So you're saying that it's considered a knas, and therefore you don't have to pay al piyatzmai. Fine, if that's true, so adatani seifa. So why does the next case of our Mishnah say avdoi shel ploini? If the my shor killed a slave, ein mishalom al piyatzmai, you don't have to pay. Fine, that's true because it's knas. Certainly, killing an eved is a din of knas, and you don't have to pay. However, why don't we stick to the basics and say niflag v'nisna b'didei? Why don't we stick to the case that we're already discussing, which is b'med varam amurim b'muid? Why don't we say the same exact case that if it was a muid, that's when you're off the hook. Avol tam einu mishalom al piyatzmai. But if it was a tam, you're not chayav to pay. We could have made the chiluk just between differentiating between a tam and a muid in our Mishnah. Why did we jump to a new case of eved? So the Gemara. So it must be. The fact is that the reason why we don't make this difference is because it's not true, and therefore even by the tam, you're still chayav to pay. So we see that it's moment. So the Gemara says, no raya. Kulo b'muad kamairi. It's not true. Our Mishnah happens to be talking about a case that is talking about a muad. Because, as Rashi says, Rashi explains, because once the focus is on the shor, and we're talking about different cases of the shor, we have to decide which case of shor we're discussing. So once we decided that we're discussing muad, so then we have to give another example. If I want to differentiate between when I pay and when I don't pay in a muad case, I have to differentiate in the muad. The only time I'm off the hook is by an eved. And that's why we jump to the case of eved. Because changing the case to muad would be changing the entire case. We'd be talking about an animal that we're not discussing. So therefore, that change is too big of a change, and that's why our Mishnah would rather stick to the Mu'ud and make the entire Mishnah about a Mu'ud. And in Mu'ud itself, there is this chilik between killing a regular person versus killing an Eved. So again, you don't have a Raya, because you can interpret the Mishnah as talking about a Mu'ud, and we're not discussing Tam at all. Okay, what about the next part of the Mishnah? Toshima, bring a raya, zeh klal. The Mishnah finishes off and says, kol mishalim yeser al masha hizik, ein mishalim al pi atzmi. That's what our Mishnah says, that the rule is that anytime you pay more than what you're supposed to pay, that's considered a knas, and therefore it's moedah b'knas. Oh, so the easy diik is, so by the fact that it says more, sounds like hapachos mimasha hizik mishalim al pi atzmi. It's only because you're paying more. But if I were to pay less, the Mishnah doesn't say that, so it must be that even when I'm paying less, I'm still paying. Oh, so we see that it must be palga niska is mamayna. That's why I'm paying, because it's not a knas, and that's why I have to pay. I'm responsible for the damages. So the Gemara says, loy tema ha-pachos mimasha hizik. Don't say, no, don't make the diik that if I pay less, I'm off the hook. I'm on the hook, that I have to pay. Ela ema ha-kma shehizik mishalim al-piyatzme. The diik to be made is, if I pay more, that's knas and potter. But if I pay the right amount, that's the point that the Mishnah is trying to make. That if I pay the right amount, then I'm off the hook. Fine. That's the diik we're going to make in the Mishnah. Okay, but that leaves it open. So then what would be the... If you're telling me the Mishnah is not discussing what would happen if you pay less, so what would be the halacha if I have to pay less? So the halacha would be, we can consider that a knas, and you're not chayav to pay, because moedah b'knas. So then, fine. So if that's true, if that statement is true, listening, so let us say it the correct way. Zeh aklal, kol she'enem mishalim k'moy she'hizik, enem mishalim al piyasmai. Why don't we make a statement which is true in all respects, and we say, as long as I am not paying the correct amount, that's not, then it's considered a knas, and I'm off the hook. And this way, the mashma pacha is the mashma yeser. This would capture both cases. This would capture above is also not the right amount, and below is also not the right amount. Both cases are not the right amount. So why doesn't the Mishnah phrase it in a way that we can capture both more and less? Why do we phrase it in a way that more is a knas, and then kind of leave it open to what would be the halacha of equal or less? The Gemara says tiyufto and a chanami. That's a good kasha. We could have used that language. By the fact that we didn't use that language, is a raya that less than is also considered is less than is also no. So now it comes out that we didn't use that language because it's not true. Because less is going to be money, and Yitaka not off the hook even when you pay less. However, then the Gemara says something fascinating. The Hilchusa Palganiska Knasa, but we paskin, you should know, in reality is we do consider it a knas. So one second, to Yufta Vilchusa? That doesn't make any sense. We just got busy proving that it's not true. We proved that the fact that the Mishnah says it means that the Mishnah holds its money. And then you're gonna go ahead and paskin against what we just said and say that it is considered a knas? So make up your mind over here, it doesn't make sense. So the Gemara says you're right. Really, that is how we paskin. We do paskin that it's knas. What about our Mishnah? In time of my itoisiv, what was your whole kasha? Your kasha was mishum deloy ketani kamosha hizik. Because it doesn't use the words, it doesn't use the phrase, as long as you're not paying the right amount. However, the problem is like this. You know, there's a real reason why the Mishnah doesn't use that phrase. Loi psikole, because that phrase is actually on its face is not accurate. Why? Because there's another case where you pay less than full. There's a case of Troy. Troyris is that case where an animal is walking down the street and it kicks up a rock and the rock goes flying and it hits something else and breaks a window. Right? It damages something else flying through the air. Not that the animal did the damage to the object. The animal kicked something else, kicked a rock, and that rock went ahead and did the damage. So the Hilchasa Gemiri law, the Mamainahu, that we know it's Halacha L'Moshe Mi-Sinai, that is considered that And the halacha is that you only pay half, and that also is considered money. Mamon. It's considered mamon, not knas. Even though you're not paying the full amount, still the halacha is, it's halacha l'moshe mi-sinai, that it's considered money, and therefore Bezdin is allowed to collect it, just some money. So mishum hachi loy katani, but that explains why we couldn't make that statement. Because you wanted it to make a statement, as any time I'm not paying the right amount, it's knas. That's the statement you wanted to make. It's not true. Because there are times when I'm not paying the right amount, and it's still considered money. This case of Treiris. The Chatzinezek Treiris is a case where I'm not paying the right amount, and it is halachically considered money. So therefore the Mishnah could not make a statement which is blatantly false on its face. So it couldn't say that if I'm not paying the right amount, it's automatically knas. It's not true. Because there are some times when I'm not paying the right amount, and it's not knas. So therefore, even though you're right, the Mishnah could have said that for our purposes, so it's a tiyufto, however, the statement is still not true, and that's why we're going to pass in the maskona that Chatzinezek Nezek is considered a knas. Now, what are the ramifications? What is the nafkamina of it being knas versus money? The nafkamina would be that if it's knas, in Bavel, there's moed b'knas, that's your pater, and also the halacha is that Bezdin in Bavel, that doesn't have smicha, is not allowed to do the din Torah for knas. As the Gemara now continues and says, v'hashda da'amr's palgan is k'knaso. Now that we established that paying half of nezek is considered knas, so hai kalbo da'ochel imro. If you have a dog that eats a sheep, which is not normal, v'shuna da'ochel tarnagoylu ravravi, and you have a cat that eats a large chicken, mishunahu, that's not normal. V'loy ma'agbina b'bavol. So then the halacha would be that in Bavel you're not allowed to collect for those kind of damages because then it falls into the category of Karen. And Karen, the halacha is that you pay pays chatzin nezek, and it's now chatzin nezek is knas. Bezdin in Bavel does not have the right, or chutzlertz without smicha does not have the right to collect knas type of payments. Avol zutri, so but let's bring this to conclusion. Avol zutri, urchehu, umagbino. And therefore, but if it's a small animal, which is normal for a dog or a cat to destroy, so then on the Hanami, that's normal. So if that's normal, that falls under the category of regel or shein. And regel and shein is regular payment. Regular payment, you're gonna be chayev to pay in, it's considered money, and you're chayev to pay in bavel. the toughest. Now, once we're talking, so let's go back. In the category of knas, the toughest leimafkina mina, but if you took payment, we do not take it away from you. Because in essence, you did lose money. You do have a right to get reimbursed. So if you took money, you're able to get reimbursed. So it's interesting, Machlokes Rashi Tosfos over here. What did you take? According to Rashi, the Mefarshim understand that what you did is, the guy owes me $100. I walk into his house. I find a $100 bill on his counter. And I take that and I keep it. So you can't take it away from me because really, even though Bezdin can't get involved, but Lamaisa, I took, he owes me $100. Tosfos learns, no, that's not true. Because if that would be the case, then basically I would have to value that the real value is $100, and I would have to determine that he is that he's chayiv, and that would be the same thing as Bez and Paskening, Knas and Bavel. So Tosfos says it has to be that what I took was, I took the animal that did the damage. That you can't take away from me, because that's definitely a din of the Torah that the animal belongs to the Nizik. So therefore, Tosfos says it has to be that I took the thing itself that did the damage, not just random money. Okay, now, well, another halacha is back in the Gemara, V'i Amar, but if the Nizik says, Ikavu li zimno le'eretz Yisrael, he says, okay, fine, here in Chutz La'aretz I'm never going to be able to collect because it's knas. No problem, let's go to Eretz Yisrael. Schedule a bezdin, a date for me in Eretz Yisrael, so I can go to Eretz Yisrael and collect my knas. So the halacha is makvinon lei. We force the mazik to go to Eretz Yisrael to do his din Torah to establish that he's going to be chayiv, even though it's knas. The Eloi Ozel, and if the mazik refuses to go, mishamtinon lei. We're going to put him into chayiv. That's the end of the braisa. However, the Gemara then comments and says, what are you talking about? Benkachu benkach meshamtinun lei. The truth of the matter is, even if he agrees to go to Eretz Yisrael, regardless of that, it's not the trip to Eretz Yisrael that makes the difference. It's the fact, either way, he's gonna be put in chayri. Why? For a totally different reason. The amrinun lei, because we say to the mazik, solik hezekacha mi hezekacha. We say, get rid of your damage. Get rid of your damage, and you're not allowed to keep damaging bad things in your house. Me the Reb Nosson, based on Reb Nosson's halacha, the Tanya, Reb Nosson Oimer, Reb Nosson teaches us, minayin shalo yigado odom kelev ra besoich bei. So how do you know you're not allowed to keep a bad and dangerous dog in your house? Velo yamed sulam ru'ua besoich bei soi. And you're not allowed to keep a bad ladder in your house. Shenemar, because the pasuk says lo yisosim damim b'veisecha. Not allowed to put blood or things that can cause damage in your house, and therefore this is a pasuk adinda araisa. You're not allowed to keep dangerous things in your house. So therefore, that it has nothing to do with going to Eretz Yisrael. Until you get rid of the damages, Bezdin has the right to put a person into Cheirim until he takes care of the problem. Okay, fine. Totally, it's a different thing. So but the point that the Braisa was trying to make is that you can force the Mazik to go to Eretz Yisrael to be done the din of Knas to find out what you are deserving to pay. Hajan Aloch Elu Nairus. This takes us to the end of the parak. Now we're going to start the next Mishnah. The next Mishnah is in Nairus and Espasso. This is the next parak. This is the fourth parak of Masechtas Ketubos. So we're going to learn just the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Nairus and Espasso. We have a girl that, these are halachas that we already saw somewhat, that we're familiar with. You have a girl that was mefuto, that she was seduced. So boishta upagama viknasa shalavia. All the payments that the guy has to pay, including the boishas and pagam, and of course the kanas, goes to her father. Vahatsar betof tfusa. And the same thing would be true by the case of an oinis that is grabbed. She gets also tsar, like we saw that's one extra difference by an oinis. That also goes to the father. Okay, now we get into the complicated halachas. Omdo bedin. Let's say the father took the guy to Bezdin, and Bezdin paskens his chayiv, ad shaloi meisa'av, before the father died, harehein shel ha'av. Then the money, of course, because now we converted it from a knas, we converted it into regular money. That money belongs to the father already, and the regular dinim of Yerusha apply. So therefore, Mesa'av, now that the father died, harehein shel achin, this belonged, the money now belongs to her brothers, because her brothers are the children of the father. They happen to be her brothers, but it's more really what's happening is the money belongs to the father, and the father now is Meirish. They're yarshining the father like everything else. Now this becomes converted to any other money payment that the father is owed. That's because the father went to Beis Din, and Beis Din paskened, this is the amount that is owed. However, lo yispik olamod b'dinat shemei sa'av. But let's say the father died before he had the opportunity to go to Beis Din. So it's still a knas. Harein shal asma, then she gets to keep it. Then she can go to Beis Din and she can collect it because it never became the father's actual money. And as Rashi explains, and we'll see in the Gemara, because you can't be Moirish knas to your children. Knas is not something that that a father has the right to give over as Yerusha. Umdu b'din ad shaloi bogro. Another case. What if they went to Beis Din before she became a bogeres, before she aged out? Harehen shalav. Once again, that again clearly belongs to the father. That's the father's money. Meis ha'av. Now let's say the father dies and she became a bogeres. So you say, what's that? Now she's a big girl. Too late. Harehen shalachin. Again, it became the father's money. Once it becomes the father's money, he's entitled to it. It's regular money, and it goes through the regular parsha of Yerusha. However, let's say the father did not have a chance to go to Beis Din, and she already turned 12 and a half. She's already a bageris. Once again, the father lost his opportunity. Now she's old enough to take care of it herself, and the money therefore goes to her. That's the Tanakama Shita. Reb Shimon argues and says, "In loy speak a ligvois at shemesa av harehen shalatzma." He says, "No, it doesn't matter that the father made it into Beis Din and they paskind. It has to be that the father literally collected the money. Then it becomes his money. And until that time, so if the father dies before he actually collected the money, it's still considered in the category of knas. It's only money." Even though Beis Din already said it's chayiv to pay, and the father's entitled to it, it's still not the father's money until he literally collects it. And if he doesn't, and if he dies before he actually collects, it goes to the girl and not to the brothers. It's not considered their part of Yerusha. Now on the top of Mem Beis Amud Aleph, just one line to finish the Mishnah. Maisa Yodeo Mitziyoso. So let's say she earns money, she works and she earns money, or she finds a Mitziya. Afa Pishaloi Govso, even though she hasn't yet collected that money in her hand, but it belongs to the father, whatever rights she has. That does go to the brothers if the father dies. It is, the father is entitled to it. So once she does the job, even if she hasn't yet collected the payment itself, the rights to the work that she did belongs to the father. And therefore any money that is derived from that work is already considered actual money. Because this is not a knas case. This is just regular money. So since it's regular money, it belongs to the father. And therefore, if the father dies, it's his estate. And therefore it goes through the regular parsha of Yerusha. Okay, we'll stop over here at the end of the Mishnah.